The text for our meditation this morning comes from the 21st chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, beginning at verse 25. Jesus said, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are the words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. What Jesus describes in this 21st chapter of Luke does not sound like much fun. He starts off telling his disciples about the destruction of Jerusalem, including the great temple. And the destruction would be such that he says there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And then he starts talking about the end of the world, with wars and earthquakes and famines and pestilences and persecution and death. And then he returns to talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, talking about the armies surrounding the city, trampling the people underfoot. It will be so bad that the pregnant women and nursing mothers are the most pitied at that time. And then with the words of our text, he returns to talking about the end of the world. And considering what Jesus is describing here, the end of the world as we know it, I don't think I would feel fine. But Jesus assures us that even though we may not feel fine when the world ends, the world, and especially us, will be fine. So in other words, look forward to the Lord's return. Now before that positive, let's dwell on the negative for a few moments. You are dying. You're falling apart slowly. Now, you younger people may not feel like it. You're probably looking forward to a nice long life of many more years. You're strong, you're robust, you're healthy. But it doesn't last that way forever. You start to get a little older, and you start to feel all the aches and pains in your joints. You start to realize that you have all sorts of chronic conditions that worsen with time. You have an increasing number of procedures that you have to undergo. You have failing eyesight and hearing. And then there are the catastrophic occurrences. You find out you have cancer. A son or a daughter is taken away from you all too soon. A friend has their life snuffed out in a tragic accident. And it gets worse. Indeed, your personal world may be crumbling, but the world around you is crumbling also. Again, just prior to this text, Jesus explained about the earthquakes and famines and pestilences and everything else that's going to take place. And then with the words of the text, he says, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding on what is coming on this world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The destruction of this world, of this universe, is going to be horrendously frightening, to say the least. And what brought about all of this destruction in the first place? One word: sin. Yes, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, death and destruction entered into this world. Yes, Adam and Eve would die physically, but even more tragically, spiritually. But the whole world was infected with sin. That's why Paul says in Romans that this world is groaning, waiting for its redemption, waiting for the end so that it can be freed from its bondage to destruction and death and sin. Now, Adam and Eve brought sin into this world, but that's not to leave each one of us off the hook. We're more than happy to keep sin alive and well in this world. Think of all the times that we disregard the warnings of our Lord about his coming return and live our lives as if that's not going to happen. We live our lives as we please, doing what we please, making choices because we think we know what's better, just like Adam and Eve thought they knew better than God. We do everything to try and keep ourselves happy. Selfishly, we strive for glory and power when in reality we're just spiraling downward into despair, into the very depths of hell itself. Yes, when we think about the awful load of our sin, when we think about the ways in which the world around us is crumbling, when we're torn up by tragedies of all sorts, we get weighed down. We slump as we feel the weight of all of that sin and distress on our shoulders. The burden of our sin is indeed intolerable. But don't overlook what Jesus tells you to do. Straighten up and raise up your heads. Now, please don't think Jesus is giving us just a quick pep talk here, or that he's trying to tell us to suck it up and quit our belly aching. No, he's telling us the best news possible. He's telling us that when we see all of these bad things happening in the world around us, it's not going to make a difference in the long run. He's telling us that the pain and the sickness and the suffering and distress that we have now is not going to go on forever. He's telling us your redemption is drawing near. Now, maybe you're wondering why it is that it's at the end of the world that our redemption is drawing near. After all, haven't we already been redeemed? Hasn't Jesus already bought us back from sin through his life, through his death? And wasn't this forgiveness of sins that he attained for us, this life that he has attained for us, wasn't that given to you individually, personally, in your baptism, or when you were brought to trust in Jesus as your Savior? Yes, indeed, that is all true. But think about it. How perfect, even as a redeemed child of God, how perfect is your life right now? Don't you still have sin in your life? Doesn't death still dog your steps and crash into your life unexpectedly? Aren't there times when you're so weighed down by guilt that you just don't feel at times that you can get up? That's the problem with being one of God's children who is living in this world. As long as we're in this world, we know that we're going to have to put up with the effects of sin. We know that we'll have to endure suffering and hardships. But when Jesus returns, no more. Our redemption, our being bought back from sin and death will be complete. As the voice from heaven says in John's revelation, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. What a glorious day to look forward to. And of course, we would be selling Jesus' return short if we considered it to be only about that one day. We have really no way of fathoming it, but the glory that we'll begin to enjoy on that day is never going to end. It goes on forever, into eternity. That's the reason why you don't have to worry about or get weighed down with all of the heartache and the hassles of this life. Look forward to the Lord's return, because the next life in which we already share in part, the next life is what Jesus lived and died for. Amen.